Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. Great to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit them online at rewfinancial.com. Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. Go to Lenape Solar at lenapesolar.com. And, of course, we're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show on this, the day of the NBA draft. Excitement reigns across the landscape. They can't wait to watch the draft tonight.
Ooh.
Could be interesting for the Philadelphia 76ers. Because I think they are in a prime spot to pick one of two guys that I think will help them. Because their stock has dropped. Perry Jones of Baylor or Jared Sullinger of Ohio State. Either one would help the Sixers. It would give them more of a power presence inside, especially Sullinger. And there's been a lot of red flagging about injuries and things like that. I know it's a big investment, but you know what? I watched Sullinger play myself in person the last 2 years. Is he really a risk? I don't think so.
I have two words for the Sixers. Offense.
Well, this guy plays offense.
No, I know. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that's what they need right now is offense.
Well, they need a big man that can provide them some offense. You can fill in some other parts later. Last year, actually, the gem they got last year was in the second round. They got the power forward, Lavoy Allen. And Lavoy Allen played pretty well for the Sixers during the course of the playoffs last year. So that, I think, is interesting, is to see what is going to go on with the Sixers draft. And I think they're a prime team that can maybe reach a little bit. They had a wonderful run last year until the Celtics beat them in seven games, and they gave Boston all they could possibly handle. The guy I think is, if I have the second pick and I'm Charlotte, and obviously I'm not. I'm not running that loser franchise now.
and I'm not.
And I'm not. Believe me. But if I am a part of Michael Jordan's team, and they've had as many as five offers now for that second pick overall, and I know a lot of people want to talk about Bradley Beal, and a lot of people want to talk about Thomas Robinson, I think the guy outside of Anthony Davis that will be the star of this draft is Michael Kidd-Gilchrist out of Kentucky. I think that there's a guy right there that brings a lot to the table. A lot to the table.
Yeah, I've got a question about that franchise now that you mention it. There's a lot of people that say that Michael Jordan is like the worst ever. Is Michael Jordan the problem with that franchise, or is there more to it than that? Your opinion.
Well, I just think that the NBA is one of those deals where I don't think the days where you can draft a Larry Bird and make a quantum leap, don't happen. They just don't happen. I think it's a hard league to make a move in. I mean, the Bulls got better when they got Derrick Rose. I mean, as we all know, the Cavaliers got better when they drafted LeBron James. San Antonio, for example, already had David Robinson. They added in Tim Duncan and then went on a great run. I think middle-of-the-road teams can improve themselves dramatically in this league, and bottom feeders usually stay bottom feeders. I mean, look how long the Clippers were bad. And, you know, they repeatedly were getting first pick, first pick, first pick, and they weren't getting anything. I mean, I think what's really odd about that?
What's that?
Is that when you look at basketball, in basketball recruiting, they say all the time, hey, look, you're just two guys away.
Right.
In college basketball, that may be true. I never see that in the NBA. Yeah, I saw the Celtics get better. You know, but the Celtics made a series of moves to get their big three. They sent five guys to the Timberwolves. They got Kevin Garnett. They made the draft day trade where they sent the draft rights to Green to Seattle, got Ray Allen. And they already had Paul Pierce in place, and they drafted Rondo. Right, but when they drafted Rondo, nobody sat there and went, "Oh, hey, look, they drafted Rondo." nobody had a parade in Boston when they got Rondo. And then you end up filling in around your stars. You know, Miami has the championship, and it turned out that from that 2003 draft, they have three of the top five picks all together now. They have Bosch, and they have James, and they have Wade. I think three of the top six picks, I guess, from that particular draft, 2003. But I think it's just very difficult in this league. Look at what the Knicks keep trying to do. I mean, the Knicks, who were down and out, they get Stoudemire, sign him as a free agent from Phoenix. They make the trade with Denver. They get Carmelo Anthony. And they're still out in the first round in five games. I just think it's a league that's very hard. I mean, that's why you see the same teams winning. You know, Miami has two championships. The Celtics have 17. The Lakers have 17 championships. San Antonio has four. The Bulls had their six. You don't see a spreading of the wealth in this league, do you? You may have a run by somebody, but that's it. You get a run from somebody. Like Orlando made the final, for example. Oklahoma City made the final. Okay. You get something like that happening. Cleveland, when they had James, once made the final. But for some reason in this league, you don't get a lot of changeover. The Clippers have been at the bottom for a long time. The Nuggets are usually the eighth seed. The Sixers really haven't been anywhere from the sixth to eighth seed in recent years when they've been able to get in. Washington's been down and out forever. No matter what picks they get, they never rise and resurrect themselves. And here's Charlotte Bobcats, expansion team. When they had Larry Brown a couple of years ago, they actually made the playoffs. That's why I think Larry Brown's a great, great coach. I mean, he's a great coach. He did two things in his career, Kevin, that separate him from most coaches in the world. All right?
I'm listening.
He got the Clippers to the playoffs, and he got the Bobcats to the playoffs. I mean, for you to do that in your career, that's even more impressive than winning the title at Detroit.
He's done a few more things, though.
He got the Clippers to the playoffs, and he got the Bobcats to the playoffs. Do you know how good of a coach you have to be to do that?
He's also traveled an awful lot.
Do you know how good of a coach you have to be to get them?
He's also traveled.
It's like Steve Spurrier. You want to know why Steve Spurrier is a great coach?
Why is that?
He got Duke to a bowl game. You just don't do things like that. Nobody does that stuff.
All right. Well, let me ask you the next popular question of the day. Are you ready for this one? The next, and it involves the NBA. Does Doc draft the boy if he's still available?
Does who?
Does Rivers draft the boy if he's still available?
His son?
Yeah.
Where do the Celtics pick?
No, I'm saying if this is a hypothetical, and if you're Rivers,
where do the Celtics pick?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look.
I mean, they have to be in the 20s, don't they?
I'll tell you in a minute. But just hypothetically, if he's still around, would you pick your son to play?
If you thought he could help your team win, yeah.
And let's face it, anybody that's coached their kids before knows that that's a challenge.
But I think he's too smart, Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers is one of the top five coaches in the NBA, bar none. He's one of the top five coaches. I remember when the Celtics announced they were hiring him, I thought, because I'm a lifelong Celtics fan, the first thing I thought was good. They finally have a really good coach.
And the Celtics picked 21 and 22.
Yeah, they won't. He won't be there.
No. No, I don't think so either. It was a hypothetical that I was thinking that somebody had mentioned the other day, and I thought that's an interesting thought, though, if it were to happen.
Well, you have to remember, what position does he play? Point guard.
Isn't Austin a guard?
Yeah. Who do the Celtics have at point guard?
Let me think.
Rajon Rondo. Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying the guard isn't necessarily a need right now.
It will be a need because of Ray Allen. Okay, in terms of an off guard. You need an off guard. The questions about Austin Rivers are as follows. Is he the next Kobe Bryant or is he the next Jared Bayless? They don't know.
Well, you know, Rondo in that loss to the Heat only had 22 and 10 rebounds and 14 assists.
It's disgraceful.
It's terrible.
They should trade up and get the kid. let's see. But Austin Rivers is really good.
Yeah.
But again, they don't know. They don't know if he's going to be a middle-of-the-road guy or is going to be the kind of scorer that Kobe Bryant's been.
Well, and
they don't know.
Is that because of coming out so early? Or is that just could be that way for anybody?
Of course it is. Hey, some people have him as high as 6 on the draft board now, you know. Some people have him as high as number 6 on the draft board.
All these guys that come are a roll of the dice for these teams, I think. Because you've only had 1 year to look at him or so.
Well, that's why I've gone back repeatedly to the 20-year-old, 2-year thing over and over and over again. Instead of having 4 months to scout, you now have 2 seasons worth of scout on the guy. It also, after 2 years, gives the player, I think, a really good read on where they are really with their game versus 1 year. The maturity factor, being 20, is a big difference compared to 19. We all know that. It's a huge difference over 18. I think there are a lot of things that work out better. A more mature league, players that should be in it, and a better read on it. And I think part of the reason that you see, I think there are 2 reasons why the NBA draft is as limited as it is in helping teams. Number one, over the last 15 years, there have been too many foreign players drafted. What have they done? I'm sick and tired of hearing, the quality of basketball around the world is so much better. I watch it and I think it's like watching robots compared to the college game. And, of course, it doesn't help your marketing at all. We drafted some guy named Turkoglu. What? He can shoot, really. Yeah. Wow. Meanwhile, tonight, did you see that? We drafted Austin Rivers. They already know who he is. And the second thing that's hurt the draft is that there have been too many people under the age of 19 and younger taken, where it's just you're rolling the dice. For every Kobe Bryant and Kevin Garnett, there's another guy that flops. I And the high school thing just baffled the daylights out of me when they did it. I mean, it's, you know, so at least getting 1 year of college. Look, does it help the college game that they play a year? Oh, yeah, sort of. Would it really help the college game if they play 2 years? Yeah, it really would. But that's not the reason I'm saying it. I'm saying for the benefit of the young man, actually for the benefit of the league, you should move it back. But again, the big problem is, for some odd reason, the Players Association.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all.
I mean, aren't you supposed to protect your current rank and file?
Right.
I thought that was the goal of any union. You protect your current rank and file. It's like being a part of the Teamster saying, you know what, that guy might be a trucker someday. Let's get him in here. I mean, what? I've never heard of a union worried about protecting future rank and file. You're supposed to protect the current group. Am I wrong?
I'm not debating with you. I don't understand that one bit. But then again, we've heard a lot of stuff that come out of the sports unions lately, the players' unions, through multiple sports that have not made any sense whatsoever.
Well, no, they don't make any sense. I mean, the thing with Drew Brees makes
right.
no sense.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me.
I mean, if the guy complained to them, I could see them going, okay, let's see here. High school players. Okay. Let's see. There have been 42 high school players drafted in the NBA.
That many?
42.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. This goes back a long way, man.
Yeah, but that still seems like a lot to me. I mean, we're talking about how much of a risk you're taking a guy that played 1 year in college. You're talking about a guy that played 1 year in high school, and you hope he played against quality opponents, so you're getting a very good view of what he can do. Because the pool is much bigger of high school players than it is of college.
Well, when we come back, I'll run down who the high school players are that are drafted. We'll do that when we continue. Steve Jones Show today brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 here on 1070 News Radio, WKOK.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you can make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to our planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives. Professional, certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back. Brought to you by Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. Visit online at rewfinancial.com. Reggie Harding was the first high school guy going to Detroit. Nothing. Daryl Dawkins in 75, good career. Bill Willoughby did nothing. Then they go 20 years before high school guys are back in again. In 95, Kevin Garnett in 95, obviously great career. Kobe Bryant, slow start, awesome career. Jermaine O'Neal, it took him a long time before he finally got himself in a groove. He was drafted by Portland. He did nothing with the Blazers. He was very good with Indiana. Tracy McGrady. McGrady certainly was considered a star by many, but to be honest with you, the guy won how many playoff series in his career? Oh, that's right, zero. I mean, he just could not play well with others. Al Harrington in 98, not bad. Rashard Lewis has had a very good career. Corleone Young, no. Jonathan Bender, couple moments, that's it. Leon Smith, no. Darius Miles, no. Deshaun Stevenson, no. Kwame Brown saw his first game ever in person. It was an exhibition game in the Jordan Center. It was his first game. No. Tyson Chandler, yes. Outstanding player, excellent defender. Eddie Curry, a lot of people say he's been really good. I think he's been no more than okay. Diop, no. Amari Stoudemire, obviously. LeBron James, obviously among the greats of all time. Travis Outlaw, no. Ndebi Ebi from Minnesota, no. Kendrick Perkins has been a good solid player in the NBA. Whether it was the Celtics or Oklahoma City, he's been very good. James Lang, no. Dwight Howard, obviously, yes. Sean Livingston, no. Robert Swift, no. Sebastian Telfair, no. Nobody wants him. Al Jefferson, best known for being traded for Kevin Garnett. Josh Smith.
That's bad for your career.
I'm going to say, Josh Smith, very good. J.R. Smith, okay. Darrell Wright, no. Martell Webster, no. Andrew Bynum can be very good. Can be very good. Gerald Green, no. C.J. Miles, no. Ricky Sanchez, no. Monte Ellis, excellent outside shooter. Lewis Williams, obviously we know what he brings to the table with the Sixers. I think Lou Williams is a pretty good player. Amir Johnson, no. And Andre Blatchke, no. I mean, it's too many no's there. Those are the high school players that were drafted. And then there's Kevin's kid who keeps thinking he can play.
No, that would be the answer there. That's why he's on the mat and not the hardwood.
Hey, but those are the 42 high school guys that have been drafted, and there are some great ones in there, but there's too much of a mixed bag.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Very pleased to be joined by someone who does an outstanding job on Comcast Sports and covering the Philadelphia 76ers, knows the game inside and out. We're very pleased to have with us from Philadelphia to talk briefly about the NBA draft, D. Lynam. Hi, D. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks very much. Thanks for inviting me.
First of all, I have to quickly tell you, I'm talking with Patrick Chambers on Tuesday night, and he says, guess who I'm going to be talking to on Wednesday? And this is before I knew I was going to be talking to you. I said, who is that? He says, Jimmy Lynam. I can't wait to talk to Jimmy. So he's all excited about that.
Oh, yes. He's a high-energy guy. Actually, both of them, Jimmy Lynam and Patrick Chambers.
Oh, that's okay. I go back to announcing games when your dad coached. So, I mean, believe me, I recall. I recall.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
Yes. All right. Let's get to the Sixers. The Sixers last year, when they went through this draft process, actually ended up with not a bad second-round pick in Lavoy Allen. How difficult is it to make any kind of move in this draft, D, or something, you really improve your team? And NFL teams seem to dramatically improve themselves in the draft. Why is it NBA teams can't do that?
I think part of it is the youth that these guys go to college for 1 year. I think another part of it is parity. You know, these guys, it just doesn't seem like the talent distinguishes themselves at that age. I think people become good players if they put in the work and put in the time, but the difference makers seem to be fewer and fewer in terms of right out of the gate. I was even looking like at John Wall. You know, part of it is also going to the right situation and playing for the right coach. And I think I was reading about Austin Rivers and Coach K saying, I hope he gets a demanding coach because he tends to be one-dimensional, and that is look at himself as a scorer when there are other facets that will determine if he's going to have a very good NBA career or just be just another guy. So I think a lot of those factor in. Obviously, the top pick Anthony Davis will be a difference maker, certainly. And then after that, I think people say maybe over time a lot of these guys will have long NBA careers, but are they going to be all-stars? Who knows?
Right, exactly. Who knows? The Sixers are in an intriguing spot because two guys have been red flagged along the way, Perry Jones of Baylor and Jared Sullinger of Ohio State. And there's the Sixers sitting right there in the middle of the pack in the draft. What are your thoughts on that first pick, especially with those two names as possibilities?
Well, first of all, well, they're picking at 15, which in most drafts, a lot of front office people would say that's usually the cutoff of where a guy is going to be able to, make a difference for your team over time. This draft, they seem to think that it goes deeper than that and would be a very good draft to be in 10 through 20 because that player that you select there has as good a chance of being a better player than the 10 that go before them, or I say 9 because I think Davis is obviously going to be a talent, or you would think. So I've heard those names. I think if Sullinger is there's a lot of people who tell me they will pass on him. I understand that. Obviously, when you have a back problem and injuries, and it certainly has had Jared drop in this draft. I mean, a year ago, he would have been a top 10 pick. So I can see them being wary of that. I have seen Jones's name. I've also seen a lot of Terrence Ross's name, and some would say maybe Ross is too much of what they already have, that perimeter guy. But if you're planning for the future and these guys aren't going to be the immediate impact guy, Andre Iguodala has 2 years left on his contract. Will he be here after that? I don't know. I do think he will be here for the upcoming season, but then he would have a contract that is, kind of, it would be one of those that if you moved him, it would be because somebody would want the expiring contract and the room in their cap space. So if you're planning for the future, I would understand if a Ross is selected. But by and large, most of the guys that I saw them bring in were definitely 4s or 5s.
It's interesting because when they had the second overall pick, they took a guy in Evan Turner, whom I liked very much because of his versatility. Is he starting to find his NBA game, or is that such a work in progress he may still be a couple of years away?
I think he is. He does not lack for confidence, I got to tell you that, and I kind of like that about him. I think he lacked for understanding the demands of the NBA job. And in that, I mean, it's working out every day. It's a routine. It's working on the things that are not your strengths. It's being in top condition. It's about your eating. All of that, I think, took him longer than some to understand. But I saw him just this week, and he gets that. I don't think he's going to be a good long-range shooter for a while, but I'd like to see him on a consistent basis come next season, be able to make that mid-range jumper, which he certainly could do in college. And I think he's very good at attacking the rim. I think you're going to see him be a guy that plays 35 minutes next year, which obviously he had to work his way into that this year. And I'd like to see, I personally am one of the few, but I think he, Drew, and Iguodala can play on that perimeter together. I really do.
Right. I agree with that. And in watching Evan Turner in college in person as often as I did, not a great three-point shooter, but if you put him in the 15-foot range, he can be a very good shooter for you.
He is. He's not a guy who, I call him the catch-and-shoot. So he needs to be able to get to that 15-footer off the dribble. And I think what he had to work on this summer is being able to have at least some part of his game be catch and shoot. I don't want it from the three-point line, but I do want it somewhere on that mid-range because in the NBA you have to be able to come off of the screen if you're going to be that two-guard and at least be threatening to make that jumper.
It's a league where I think sometimes – how there are generalities about the NBA. One of them is, what does coaching mean? It's a players' league. Is Doug Collins the perfect example of what coaching means in this league?
Well, certainly this last season, I would say he squeezed, if you want to say, every bit out of, and made the most out of his roster. I think he absolutely did that. And just look at their postseason numbers. I mean, this was a team that's putting up shooting in the 30s, nine times out of 10, and they win six games with Chicago and seven games with Boston. And obviously that means they lean heavily on their defense. They struggled to score. Part of that was because they were playing the top two defensive teams in the NBA, which was different than in the regular season where they could run a little bit more and on a lot of nights, you know, get out in the open floor. So I think he's a great coach. I think he's a great basketball mind. I think he works with the pieces that he is given and tries to make them best work with each other, which you hear him when he talks about, like, Lou Williams and Thaddeus Young being talent that certainly could start for people, but not on this team because it wouldn't be getting the most out of the roster he had.
What, idealistically, what will it take for the Sixers to go from an 8 to within 2 years be one of the top four seeds? What do they need?
Well, I would say, I mean, they need better rebounding. So I think, like, for instance, a power forward slash center. Their front court needs to be upgraded athletically, in my opinion. And, you know, they need a shooter. You can't just keep getting by, like, being out in the open floor and not being able to have somebody knock down a jumper in the half-court set. So those would be the two things that would certainly upgrade them. How they do that is a very different story. I was reading where one of the GMs, I believe it's the guy who's now, yeah, Rich Cho, I think it is, who's now in Charlotte, and he was saying in a draft, you always select the best talent regardless of what your roster needs, and then you go for need through free agency or via trade. And if that's the case, the Sixers, that solidifying like a power forward after Elton Brand is gone needs to happen and or do it at the center position. So how, you know, big men are hard to find, which is why, you know, a guy like a Spencer Hawes could command a high salary this offseason just because there aren't a lot of them out there.
Right, exactly. Now, I know he's new to the situation in Charlotte, but does anybody take any advice from the Bobcats?
Well, he was in Portland before that,
right,
and
I
think Portland has done well before in the draft and acquiring talent and really changed the whole kind of culture out there from a team that was viewed as a bunch of, you know, thugs to, you know, a team that became well-respected, and if Brandon Roy doesn't get hurt, and if Greg Oden had ever been, you know, the talent you thought he would be, that team could have had a lot of success for a long time.
Yeah, I saw Oden play in college, D, and it, you know, if I'm sitting in his shoes, he easily would have been my first pick that year. It's just the way things go. It's just the way it works out.
It's funny because I said to somebody, Sullinger, not only because he has a back problem, but given that it's Ohio State and knowing what happened with Oden, I mean, I think this is a red flag for a lot of people.
That's probably a pretty good connect the dots there. That probably is what a lot of people are thinking about. But Evan Turner's out of Ohio State, too, so who knows?
Yes, and he was taken as a two-guard, and he's a two-guard who can't shoot.
Other than that,
everything's great.
Actually, he could,
on another team, he could play the small forward position and probably would suit him better.
Yeah, it probably would. I know what you look at. Everyone talks about Davis. I saw Davis play in person. I know what he can do. I mean, the kid was a point guard 3 years ago, so he can handle the ball and move.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that unbelievable? Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, what do you think of him, D, when you've talked to some people just about him and what his upside is?
I mean, I think that people think him and Robinson, you're going to get a player. If you look at a lot of the mock drafts, 1, 2, 3, Gilchrist would go maybe 3, anywhere from 5 to 3. They say his upside is tremendous. I have to tell you, I didn't see a lot of him in college. I tell everybody, I didn't see much college basketball at all this year because I was at an NBA game probably 4 or 5 times a week, it felt like. So this draft, a lot of it I'm just learning by reading.
Yeah.
But I think he's definitely a guy who's going to help a program for sure. So many of these guys, though, they go to teams that are poor. Obviously, when you go in the top five, you're going to the teams that couldn't win. And so I think it puts a lot of stress, which is why Evan was in a unique situation because he actually played for a winning team these last 2 years.
Right.
So I think you have to be patient with these guys who go high who are instantly thrown out there because it's a big jump for them. whether they think they're ready or not, there is definitely an adjustment from the college game to the NBA game.
Yeah, there's a huge adjustment. And by the way, when they compressed 66 games into the schedule they had, you were probably working 5 and 6 nights a week. So
it was. I usually would get to Big Five games a couple times a week, and I don't think I saw one college game in person this year.
Wow. Thank you for the time you gave us today. I appreciate it very much.
All right, Steve. Nice chatting with you.
You too. Dee Lynam from Comcast Sports does a great job covering the Sixers all the time. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel, REW Financial Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. Visit online at rewfinancial.com. Or thanks to Dee Lynam for being on the Lenape Solar Hotline. Go to lenapesolar.com. Back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
About 8:30 before the hour, Sarah Bartlett and news at the top of the hour following CBS on what has been a big news day today. The NBA draft takes place tonight. No greater thrill than watching the commissioner booed when he walks to the podium.
I wonder if anybody will ask him if it's rigged.
You know, but I find that whole thing to be ridiculous. Why would a league rig something when the stakes are so high?
It just, I'm not disagreeing with you, but it did sound a little fishy.
What, the New Orleans got the pick?
Yes.
Well, guess what? They had two of the top 10 picks.
I'm not saying I believe it. I just said that I could understand why people would think that.
I didn't even think that for a second. I just looked at it and said New Orleans has two of the top 10 picks. Their odds of getting it are much better than some people realize. I mean, I thought that going in. I figured it was between them and Charlotte. Charlotte had a lot going in because they finished last, but New Orleans had two picks in the top 10. When you have two picks in the top 10, you're going to have a better shot at getting it.
Did you catch the big baseball news of the day for the Yankees?
What's that?
Andy Pettit is maneuvering on crutches right now. Remember, we talked about it yesterday.
Yeah.
He was knocked out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks to be a little bit more than just a couple of days.
Well, they already have. Sabathia's going to miss two starts.
Yep. He's on the 15-day right now.
Yeah. Well, he's going to miss two starts. Yeah. So, which is fine. Which is fine.
I guess Adam Warren from Scranton-Wilkes-Barre is making his major league debut Friday, and then Garcia is set to go Monday against the Rays in St. Pete.
Right. Well, I think that the Yankees are playing so well right now. You know what's made the Yankees really good for a long time? They've had the ability to, as stars age, somehow find somebody else to wean into the lineup and then carry the lineup. And we can talk a lot about A-Rod. Sure, they got A-Rod. That's fine. But Derek Jeter got into the lineup in the 90s, gets weaned into the lineup, star for a long time. Now look, as Jeter is on the backside of his career, they have Robinson Cano. Cano is a great, great player.
Not bad.
Not bad. He's better
Not
than
bad.
He's better than your second baseman.
Wait, which one? The one that played last night?
The one that played last night. I'd rather have him than him.
Right now, you may be right about that.
I would have said that even 2 years ago. You can see something in Cano. You can see Utley going down. You can see Cano rising. Cano's a great player.
Well, but this pitching situation is a fractured fibula that's a minimum of 4 to 6 weeks before he can start throwing again.
What is he, 91?
40. No, but he's 40.
He's 40 years old. I can tell you it's not going to be 4 to 6 weeks.
And that was my point, too. And that was what I was just going to say. But he's 40, and I don't think it's going to be more than or any less than 6 weeks. But with Sabathia, if CC comes back in the 15 days, which it looks like he does. But
yeah, he will. He'll miss two starts, I said.
It's not as bad. But if CC is out longer than that, then this really puts a strain, I think, on the Yankees pitching staff. A strain.
It does, and they're back in the league. All right, I mean, they're back playing in the American League again. Where they made tremendous hay and built momentum was in interleague play. And I have an idea for you as to how the World Series participants should be done instead of this All-Star Game farce.
Okay.
Because the All-Star Game is a farce. Whichever league has the best record in interleague hosts the first two games in the 6 and 7 games of the World Series.
I guess my question would be, why not just the team of the two teams that have the best record?
Well, it's all well and good, but I'm just saying that's how I do it.
No, I don't think that's a terrible idea, but at least, you know, you and I talked about this the other day, about having control over whether you're going to win have home field advantage or not. At least this way, you would have control over whether you're home field advantage or not because you've done it on the field. You're not relying on somebody else to win it for you.
Yeah. Well, look, there's going to be so much interleague play next year.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's just, look, everybody has interleague play. You know, baseball's the only one that doesn't, and I find no charm to that, okay? I just don't. All the little charms of baseball and so forth, it's 2012. It's time to grow up and play the big boy game.
But if you're going to do that, then you have to deal with the DH. That's the big problem.
Right.
Use it. And you've convinced me over the last several months to do that. But if you have to make a decision on that if you're going to play that many interleague games. I mean, you one or the other can't have an advantage. It's got to be an even playing field.
Right.
By the way, 5-4 Pirates leading the Phils going into the top of the ninth.
Hey, look. I just think that, look, the DH is the way to go. There's specialization almost everywhere now in sports, okay? You send out a power play unit, all right? Football, you have specialists anywhere.
I agree. It's the evolution of the game.
You know, and fans want to see offense. I mean, believe me, the fans at the Citizens Bank Park last night had a better time watching the 11-7 game than they said, oh, here's our 8-2-1 game.
Listen, the only time a game under 2 runs per team is interesting is if one team has 0 runs or 0 hits. That's the only time a low-scoring game is interesting.
Well, I don't mind a low-scoring game, and especially when when the stakes are big. And baseball, actually, I believe, has higher attendance in interleague games than they do in league games.
How much of that's the novelty, though? Well, the novelty might be wearing off now, so that might not be a valid question.
No, I disagree with that, Kevin. I think the novelty is still there. I think there's something too... Let's take the Phillies. I mean, there's something to the Texas Rangers coming into town that have been in the World Series 2 consecutive years. Where you're not used to seeing them.
That's it right there. You hit it. Because you're not used to seeing them come into town ever.
You're not used to seeing them. And I think, right. I saw the Phillies play at Fenway Park one time. It was neat. The Red Sox won 12-1. Tommy homered. But still... Sarah Bartlett News, top of the hour, our queen.
My man, Tommy. He and Greg Gross are going to be on my 25 team.
How could you not know in November to get a first baseman? How could you not know?
Agreed.
I'd fire him for that.